The other day, I went to Aragon, which is a region in the northeast of Spain, sort of basically the northeast of Spain. Not exactly in the corner. In that corner part, that's where you have Catalonia, Barcelona, and places like that. But Aragon is a region a little bit to the west of it, and it's a very traditional, very famous, a historic region. Once a major kingdom on the Iberian Peninsula. You may recall Ferdinand of Aragon, who is the husband of Isabella, Ferdinand Isabella of Columbus fame. Well, he was the king of Aragon, and you may also recall Catherine of Aragon, Henry VIII's first wife. Catherine was actually Ferdinand and Isabella's daughter, or one of their daughters. Anyway, Aragon is a fairly big region. It has three provinces. The most famous one is probably Zaragoza, which in English goes as Saragossa. And then you have a province to the southeast called Teruel, and you have one up north near the Pyrenees called Huesca. And I was in Saragossa for a very different reason for a few days. It's a beautiful city. It's got a lot going for it. It's actually a city that's doing quite well in Spain. It's sort of important for a number of reasons, but I'd say its position in Spain, its geographic location, has made it sort of a major logistics hub, a transportation hub, and therefore there are lots of just miles and miles outside the city of warehouses and storage facilities and things like that. It's a little bit desperate looking on the outside. It's not the prettiest. The city itself is quite pretty, but it does bring in a lot of money to the local economy. In fact, our hotel was actually in that area. Our hotel was in the right near the airport. It was a nice hotel, just sort of in the middle of nowhere as far as Zaragoza is concerned. And we were going to different parts. We really weren't going into the city very much because it was sort of a congress. It was a convention. But we did get to stop by the Basilica, which is probably the biggest attraction of the city. It's almost like a cathedral. It's huge and it's famous. And it's called Our Lady of the Pillar, which is the famous Virgin Mary in Zaragoza. You will find a lot of women named Pilar from that part of Spain. And that's the relationship there. The Basilica is amazing. It's a huge, beautiful building, definitely worth visiting, as is the rest of the city. Zaragoza, by the way, is the fifth largest city in Spain. Anyway, after that, I had a few extra days to sort of go on my own. I went to see a few things I hadn't been to before. And one of them was this town about 30 minutes from Zaragoza, a little bit to the southeast, not very far. And it's a town called Belchite. And it's a town that's basically, as you look at it today, in the middle of nowhere. There's sort of this open rolling plains that go on for miles and miles before you get to the town. But over 10,000 people a year visit this town for a very specific reason. And that's because a famous battle from the Spanish Civil War took place there. And the old town that was affected by the city, by the battle and the bombing and so on, is still there as a reminder of the effects of war. But I have done a separate podcast on that, so I will tell you more about that visit very soon. Suffice it to say that it's worth visiting. Anyway, from there, I went back north, went past Zaragoza, and I went to another town, another city called Huesca, which is the capital of the province of Huesca, a province which is very popular because of nature, because of skiing. It's up near the Pyrenees. There are a lot of very pretty towns up there. But ironically, the city of Huesca itself isn't a major attraction. I think I read somewhere that it was like the least visited Spanish capital or provincial capital in all of Spain. I'm not sure if that's true, but it certainly is not the one that stands out. When I was telling people I was going up to Huesca, most of my Spanish friends were like, "Oh, okay." They weren't like thrilled about it. But they said, yeah, go check it out. I have to tell you, I was very pleasantly surprised by what I saw. It is a small city. I think the population's around 50,000. That's smaller than my hometown, and my hometown's not considered a city. And yet, I found that it had a lot of really cool things to see, and I enjoyed my visit there. The old town is pretty compact, but there are some cool things to see, and there are lots of nice streets, and there's some pretty cool restaurants and tapas bars and things like that. A lot of young people there. I was surprised to see that. Quite lively, and that's considering I was there on a Wednesday and a Thursday, so it wasn't on a weekend. And in terms of things you can see there, well, you have the Western Museum, which is not a major attraction, but actually worth seeing. First of all, it's free. It's sort of in an old building that used to be part of the university, and it was also attached to what used to be the old palace. And you have all these exhibit rooms that sort of show you the history of Huesca. And it was certainly, I liked it. It was well done, well designed, easy to follow. It was a quiet day, so I had time to sort of look at it at a leisurely pace. And then there were a couple of rooms that used to be part of the old palace. One is a room called, what was her name? Oh, Petronilla. She was a queen of Aragon. And another room called the Campana Room, which is after the Campana de Huesca, which is there's a legend there that tells how Petronilla's father beheaded all these members of nobility to prove that he was strong enough to rule over them. And it was quite an effective way of getting his point across. Apparently, that room is not where that took place, and there's not a lot of true details about how that actually happened and where it happened. But, I took a look at it, and I was walking around, and it was sort of a dank dungeon-like room, a bit imposing. I'm not sure if it was the story, the legend behind it, that made me feel that something evil had happened there. But anyway, that museum was pretty cool. And then you had the cathedral, which is right outside. There's a nice little square in front of it, a nice cafe. Then the cathedral itself has some rooms. There's an exhibit there, or a museum, sort of ecclesiastic pieces. Pretty good, I guess, if you've traveled around Spain enough. And you've seen enough of these places. I sort of prefer to see them in their original spots. And when I see them in a museum, it's nice, but it doesn't do as much for me because generally you just find them in situ. But one room that was interesting there was called the Tanto Monta room. That's after Ferdinand the Catholic, Ferdinand of Aragon, Isabella's husband. And what made that room so interesting? It was more like a hall. It was the ceiling and made of, it was made of wood, and it had all sorts of interesting figures. Some were people, others were animals like dogs, and then you had sort of these mixes of half animal, half person. A very interesting place to see, and you could have spent a long time looking up at it and looking at all the figures there. I had to stop after a while. I was starting to get a little bit dizzy, and then you could go up the tower, the bell tower. They counted it. They said it was 180 steps. As you can imagine, when I hear things like that, I definitely have to count every step on the way up to see if it's true. It was pretty close. I'm not sure if it was 180. I, for some reason, got something a little bit lower than that. Maybe I missed a step or two, but it was pretty close. And then you go to the top, you have to watch your head because as you go through the door that leads you to the rooftop, it's very low and you can bump your head. And I'm not a very tall person. I can tell I'm not the only one who's had that problem because they have the top of that door is padded. And so that's good to know. Anyway, you have a beautiful view of the city. You also realize that the city, as an old city, is really small. I mean, then you have the modern section, which is actually pretty good. I like the way they've done the modern neighborhoods. But anyway, you have a beautiful view up there. And then after that, I went to check out the monastery of San Pedro el Viejo, which is probably the heritage highlight of the city. It's an old monastery, Romanesque. The church is small. It has this beautiful cloister, not a very big one, but it's got these, the columns, the pillars there, and the capitals at the top there with all these incredible sculptures. It's a really, really good thing to check out. There's also this pantheon that was supposed to be considered the royal pantheon, where the Aragonese kings or monarchs rest. Only two are there, but they're two important ones. One is Alfonso the First, the battler or the warrior. He was said to have won every battle except the last one, which he died. So that didn't go well for him in the end, but a very successful warrior. He also married briefly Urraca, Queen of Leon at the time. They had a very tumultuous marriage, in part because Alfonso wanted to kill her son, which is not a good thing. And they just didn't get along for a lot of other reasons, and their marriage was annulled, I think, like 6 or 7 years after that. Anyway, that's a whole nother story I'd love to tell you about, but I'll save it for a different day. Anyway, he's there as well as Ramiro II, the monk who was the father of Petronila, the one I was telling you about before. He was the one who also apparently executed all of those members of nobility to prove a point, which is surprising. I mean, here he was known as the monk, and that's because he actually lived in this monastery in Huesca. And then he was pulled out because Alfonso the First was his brother, died without any children. So they needed children. So they got Ramiro out of the monastery. He said, "You are no longer a monk for a while. You have to have babies." So they married him off. And he also wanted to prove that he was more than just a monk and that he knew how to put his foot down. And that's where he got that reputation for killing the nobility. And he did have a kid who was Petronilla, who would be the next queen. In the end of his life, he went back to the monastery and returned to the monastic life that he had always wanted from the beginning. But you have to say that in that interim time, I guess he was pretty successful at ruling as well as at making sure there would be a succession. Anyway, so that's a couple of places to see in Huesca. That those are some beautiful squares, nice streets. One place I really liked was the casino, which is sort of an old Art Nouveau. Okay, Art Nouveau look to it. You just go in, you can go up the steps. There's a cafe up there which is open to anyone, open to the public, not just members. And then they had these huge rooms for playing cards. There must be like 30 or 40 card tables, with green felt and everything. And then there was another billiards room. There were three or four tables there, a library. It's just a magnificent building. I think that was one of the things that surprised me the most. And Huesca itself for restaurants. It's got some good food, good restaurants, good tapas bars. Remember, in a lot of places in that part of Spain and in the north, they will have their tapas, but tapas are paid for. Now, I say that because those of us who live normally in Madrid are sort of spoiled in the sense that a tapa comes with your drink and it's free. But that is not the case in a lot of other parts of Spain. So, there, when you ask for a tapa, you have to pay for it. It's usually larger than a tapa that you get in Madrid, but it's a different system. One thing that I was surprised to see is they had a lot of rice dishes, sort of risottos, and it was interesting. I didn't expect that, but a lot of places offered as a tapa or as a main dish, sort of a risotto. I tried one. It was asparagus, I think. It was delicious. It was really, really good. So some good stuff there. Anyway, that was the first part of my trip around certain places in Aragon, which I hadn't seen before. So that was good. I will tell you more about some other places I went to that week. And a little bit of Spanish history. I think you'll enjoy that. Thanks for listening to Talking Spain, brought to you by Brian Spain Domain. Please feel free to leave any comments or questions because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, or Castos. Or if you wish to support Brian Spain Domain, we'd greatly appreciate it. We work very hard to provide you with the very best information about Spain, Spanish history, and Spanish culture. You can do so by clicking on our PayPal donate button, or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us regularly, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. And you can also check us out on our YouTube channel and support us by subscribing. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.